Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
And welcome, everybody, to this week's exciting episode.
Oh, it's a good one, mate.
Is it a good one?
I'm feeling great. I usually wear dark colours. I wear black. I've got my lucky green shirt on. I was going to wear a hat, but I decided not to. I'm feeling lucky. I'm feeling good. We've got a good one today.
Yeah.
I'm feeling
an award winner.
Yeah, I reckon so. Yeah. I'm going to sweep in on the wings of an eagle, and I'm going to deliver nothing but truths and entertainment.
Okay, well, let's dive into it.
I think I've had too much caffeine, Pirate.
You might have done. But I like it. I like excited Josh. It's always good to see.
Oh, I'm pumped.
So what have you got for us today then, Josh?
Today, my friend, we are doing subliminal messages.
And we've already put one into this episode that you didn't even notice.
Exactly.
No, I'm joking. We wouldn't do that. well, kick it off then, mate. I'm guessing that you're going to start with the history of subliminal messages?
Yeah, kind of. Yeah. I was just going to give a little brief statement as to what a subliminal message is for people that might not know.
Or may have the wrong idea about it.
Yes. I've got some examples of things that aren't subliminal messages that people might think are as well. So
fair enough.
We'll mix it up. So subliminal messages, also known as subliminal stimuli.
Oh, that's a tongue twister.
That is, yeah. Any sensory stimuli below an individual's threshold for conscious perception. In contrast to supraliminal stimuli.
Supraliminal, as in what is obvious to you.
Which is above the threshold. So an example of this, not subliminal, but the other one, the one that I can't say. An example of that is like products that are more, you know, if you see something that's pink with a woman on the front, you know it's going to be a female product.
Yeah,
do you
like
know what
perfume.
I mean? Nothing to say a man can't use it, but it's kind of advertised for women. So that's an example of
supraliminal.
It's such a hard word to say. So subliminal stimuli activate specific regions of the brain despite participants' unawareness. So visual stimuli may be quickly flashed before an individual can process them, or masked to interrupt processing.
Well, okay. Do you mind if I just dive into some science here? Because obviously your brain, your senses, not just your eyes, but all of your senses are constantly being monitored by your brain. And if your brain were to make you conscious of all of that information all of the time, it would be so overwhelming to you that you'd never get anything done.
No.
You know, so, I mean, that's why we have focus. You focus on, like, when you're reading your notes, you focus on that. I could be doing bunny ears behind my head or anything like that. Your brain would probably pick up on it, but you're focused on something else. So you're not aware of it, even though your brain is actually picking up on that information.
We've done it a few times here. Do you remember, like, I've been reading something and you've said something, and then 2 seconds later I'm like, oh yeah, I just got that. Yeah, I see what you did there. So yeah, I do get what you mean. Yeah.
Yeah. That is kind of like the science of how integrally subliminal messages work, is the fact that your brain is going to process that information even though you're not aware of it.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll let you
carry on.
That's
a fat load of truth, mate. I like it. So, audio stimuli may be played below audible volumes or masked by other stimuli. So an example of this is if you're watching a movie and then there's whispering in the background.
Listen to Paranormality.
Yeah, that's a prime example. Yeah, so like you say, your brain's kind of picking it up but not registering in a way.
Yeah, nobody noticed that.
No, hopefully we're getting an influx of downloads. But that's pretty much what a subliminal message is. So I'm gonna just give you the next 5 pages of research, which is just kind of experiments, examples and just a conversation about it, really.
Okay. Well, you said you had kind of an origin before we started.
Okay. Oh, yeah, I'll give you the origin. So, well, I say origin. I tried to find the first known example of a...
I would imagine that was kind of done by mistake.
It was.
Okay.
Get out of my head, pirate. So, actually, I'll lead with that one then. So, this is technically the first subliminal message, but it wasn't done intentionally. So, people don't count it as the first one, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So, in 1943, there was an animated short film featuring Daffy Duck, and the words "buy bonds" briefly appear on screen. And when they were asked about it, the guy said, we just kind of tried it. We didn't think it would work. So at the time, it wasn't known as a subliminal message.
Right.
They just kind of wanted people to buy bonds. So they were like, oh, we'll just shove
it in. The government bonds that you can get like for your savings and stuff. Yeah. Yeah, fair enough.
But the actual first known subliminal message, which was done on purpose, it was in 1957 in New Jersey. And it was a researcher called James Vickery. And he inserted the words "eat popcorn and drink Coca-Cola" into a movie. So the words appeared for a single frame, long enough for the subconscious to pick it up, but too short for the viewer to be aware of it.
Right. What's his name? Fight Club. Do you remember Tyler Durden used to do that, didn't he? He'd put like pornographic images just on one frame in the cinema and just watch the carnage just because he was an anarchist or whatever. Yeah.
And this actually led to a book by Vance Packard all about subliminal messages. It was called Hidden Persuaders.
Oh, okay.
And this basically brought subliminal messages to the mainstream. So people were then aware of, you know, it had a title and it was a thing. So that's pretty much the history of it.
Fair enough. Okay.
They're the two earliest examples I could find.
From there, nefarious people would have picked up on that and gone, how can I use this to my own personal gains?
Oh, yeah. It gets crazy.
I would imagine there's probably quite a long period of time before it was actually made illegal.
Yes. It went on for... is it decades? That's 10 years?
Yeah.
It went on for decades. I was about to say centuries, but no, that's ridiculous. It went on for several decades it was actually... That actually comes up. I'm pretty sure I've got a date later on.
Okay, twice I've got in your head already.
Yeah, we're only the first 7 minutes in.
Nice.
So let's see if you can get three.
Hat-trick.
So I'm just going to go over some interesting experiments which were done by scientists. Researchers. This was done after subliminal messages is a thing. We're talking like 70s, 80s, 90s.
Right, just
So nothing serious. Knew about it, literally just experiments on people.
So when did you say that first one was? Was it in the 40s or 50s?
The first one with Daffy Duck was 1943.
Right, yeah, the accidental one.
The accidental one. And then the purpose one was 1957. So that guy...
That's still quite a gap there before people actually caught on to it.
Yeah. So that guy, James Vickery... I believe he actually kind of created the term subliminal message.
Oh, okay, kind of fair enough.
He went in with a purpose, basically. Yeah. So some of the experiments that were used to try subliminal messages to see if they could necessarily, not necessarily trick people, just they were interested in it, see what would work, what wouldn't work. So one of them was that they would have a roll of positive images, such as like romantic couples on the beach or sat on a bench, kittens, puppies, things food. Like that, food, yeah. All positive things. And then they would also have a reel of negative photos, which would be like werewolves, vampires,
daggers,
guns, dead bodies. Yeah. almost got in my head there. But then what they did, which was interesting, was so for some people, they were showing, say, three positive images, then they would have a flash of light, and then they would show maybe one negative image and then some more positive. And they would look at the emotion of people. So then the other half of the experiment would be the other way around. So a lot of negative pictures, a flash of light, then a positive. And they found out that they actually kind of switched places, because the flash of light, depending on the placement and where it was in the time frame, would make people emotionally react differently. So, for example, the people that had lots of positive pictures, they would see a flash of light, see a negative picture, and then loads of positive. Their brain would only focus on that one negative image.
Okay.
And then vice versa. So the people focusing on negative get a flash of light, and then they'd see like a kitten. And then it would almost be like they would relax and be like, oh, yeah, that was a nice kitten. So that was another weird experiment.
That flash of light just kind of resets your brain.
Yeah, in a way.
And puts you, in a completely different standing.
Yeah, I thought that was very interesting.
It is interesting, yeah.
Another one I mentioned to you earlier, which is just a simple experiment, but it just shows you how easy subliminal messaging can be for certain brains, is they had the exact same shape. They had a square, and they tilted one of the squares to make like a diamond.
Mm-hmm.
That diamond was blue. The square was red.
Right.
They then showed the two images at the same time to a group of people.
Yeah.
Came back into the room a few minutes later and said, which image did you prefer? And 100%
of a blank image is just a colour.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
So they said, which image do you prefer? Which do you like more? And again, all of them said the blue diamond. So they associated the colour blue and the fact that it was a diamond with being more positive, nicer, rather than red, which kind of represented danger and maybe just being a boring square.
Okay, but I've got to say, that surely would depend on cultural differences.
Mm, yeah, potentially.
Because I don't know where that experiment or whom that experiment was conducted on, but... like maybe people who live in very, very cold countries
mm-hmm.
might actually prefer the red because it reminds them of warmth.
Yeah.
Whereas people who live in warm countries prefer the blue because it's more calming and mm-hmm. cooling, you know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it makes it that subliminal messages are not as simple as black and white, are they?
You know, I thought you were going to say because red is the colour of good luck in China. So they might gravitate more towards...
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. We always associate, green and red, really, don't we? Green, mm-hmm. green for good and red for danger.
Yeah, yeah.
Obviously, blue is a second... comparison for green, but yeah, I mean, in different countries and different cultures, mm-hmm. those results might yield differently.
Yes, yeah, that's a very good point.
You'd have to, if you wanted to use subliminal messaging as a subterfuge,
mm-hmm.
you'd have to use different tactics on certain societies and cultures, wouldn't you?
Yeah, maybe we should look into doing these experiments in different countries to see. Yeah. Yeah, I'm pretty sure, again...
Listen to Red Paranormality UK.
That'll work one day.
Yeah, it might work in China.
So another couple of examples of experiments was they found with sounds that it had a greater effect. An example of this is they still do it now with horror films. So you'll notice it's quiet, it's quiet, and then loud noise.
A boom!
Yeah.
Just to make you jump, that jump scare.
Yes, and so it's kind of showing you how sound can play an effect, because obviously when it's quiet, you're not expecting anything, you're calm, quiet. I mean, if you're going to see a horror film and it's quiet, it's kind of expected, but obviously when they were doing these experiments and things, it wasn't a horror film, but they did notice that, you know, quite loud, and all of a sudden people were alert, in danger, they didn't like it, and it was positive and negative.
Yeah, because it triggers that flight or fight. It's just a natural reaction, isn't it? You know?
Yeah. And I thought it's worth mentioning, because I said about like experiments to show you what isn't a subliminal message, but some people would, is I've got, the example I've got here is if you had a room full of people and you gave them lots of salty food, they're naturally going to want a drink afterwards.
Yeah.
That's not subliminal. It's
no, it's manipulation.
Yeah.
It's kind of very basic manipulation. I used to do it on theme park simulator.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember the game? You put on the burger van, you'd put the salt, the food, like loads of salt, and then they'd all go next door and buy themselves a drink, and then you'd make the drink like ridiculously expensive, but you know that they're going to pay for it because they've eaten so much salt on their chips.
Yeah, it's probably what they do at festivals and things, isn't it?
Oh, it probably is.
Like, bottles
of
water are like £3, but you can get a burger.
But I mean, that's not subliminal messaging, but it is very much people manipulation. Sociopathy.
So, well, because we are a paranormal kind of weird and wonderful podcast, I thought I'd give you an example of subliminal messaging with some kind of, well, it's not murder, but it's death.
Ooh.
So, trigger warning, it does mention suicide. So I will just throw that trigger warning out there in case anyone has been affected by suicide.
Yeah, yeah.
But on Monday in 1985, December 23rd, in a small city of Sparks, Nevada, there were two men called Raymond Belknap and James Vance. They spent all day drinking, smoking, and listening to heavy metal. Among those albums was Stained Glass by Judas Priest. I don't know if you've ever heard that album.
I'm not familiar with the album. I know Judas Priest, but I'm not necessarily familiar with the album.
So as the day was setting, the sun was going down, Belknap and Vance, who were 18 and 20 at the time, decided to visit a nearby playground where they proceeded to shoot themselves with a 12-gauge shotgun. Belknap went first and was successful at committing suicide. Then Vance took the shotgun from his friend's hands and attempted to do the same, but he sustained serious facial injuries that left him disfigured. He then later died of complications stemming from the suicide attempt 3 years later. So,
oh, wow.
It wasn't
okay.
an instant. So Belknap and Vance's families tried to sue Judas Priest's label, CBS Records, for $6.2 million. They argued in court that the pair had been driven to commit suicide by subliminal auditory signals concealed in their cover song of Better By You, Better Than Me. I've not heard the song, but supposedly the words do it can be heard a few times during the song.
They can be heard on almost all Nike adverts as well, but they haven't...
Yeah. So the lawsuit was eventually thrown out.
I would imagine so, yeah.
But unfortunately, because of that, this actually led to other musicians having to defend themselves in court cases, such as Ozzy Osbourne, Marilyn Manson, Eminem. Because even when we were growing up, you always heard parents kind of and people saying, like,
that album
influenced this killing and that murder. And
they always used to say with like old fashioned rock bands and stuff, oh, if you get the vinyl and you put your finger on it and wind it backwards, that you'll hear like satanic messages in, like, you know, so like Black Sabbath songs and stuff like that. And it's all a complete load of gosh, man. It's
you know what? You've done it, 3 for 3.
I'm sorry. But
you've got in my head.
My point is, most of the bands that are accused of this were so messed up on drugs, they weren't intelligent enough to actually put that design into their music to start with.
I do agree with you. I think it is, if anything, it's more coincidence, or it's words that sound similar that people are just kind of... But I'll get back to that, because I've got some really good ones, to be fair. So, all you believers out there. Oh,
believers?
Yeah, you get ready. Justin Bieber gets mentioned at the
end. Oh, fair play.
So, just a couple of examples here. So, a board game called Husker Du in the early 1970s featured single frames of the words "get it."
Right.
And this is what actually led to the FCC banning practice of subliminal messages in TV adverts on the grounds of public interest. So
oh,
that
okay,
was the advert
enough.
In 1970.
1970,
where
yeah, fair enough.
Just having the words "get it," trying to boost their sales and sell this game,
yeah.
That's when the FCC turned around and was like, oh, I don't think you can be doing this. This isn't
yeah.
fair.
Well, it's kind of fair enough, isn't it?
Yeah. So
you're
this
using
one...
superhuman powers to boost your sales. Is, yeah.
So this one, there's a couple here that are really interesting to me, which I it blew my mind when I read it. So everyone knows cigarette companies, they're not allowed to kind of be involved in sports teams and things like that. It's illegal to advertise.
They're not allowed to advertise on sports teams. They're allowed yeah. to sponsor them and give money, but they're not allowed to advertise. Not since the mid-90s, something like that?
You're close. You're close. Basically, yeah. the year 2000.
Okay. Yeah.
It's between 99 and 2003, somewhere.
Yeah, right about the same time that they banned smoking in pubs.
Yes.
And that sort
yeah.
of thing. Yeah. Yeah. So,
cigarettes sponsored a lot of sporting teams and would make lots of cash with adverts such as Marlboro Reds being involved with Formula One.
I always remember the Marlboro sign being
yes.
on the back of the Formula One cars, yeah.
So,
and John Player Special as well. Not that yeah. we're advocating smoking
no, no,
in
no,
any
no.
way.
Definitely not. It's bad for you. So when advertising of tobacco products was banned in 2003, officially, like, that's it. That was the
yeah.
last of it. In 2003, Marlboro used a black, red and white barcode design shaped just like their logo to subliminally advertise. So when the race cars... would go round the track, they kind of worked out the speed in which they would go round, so you get a flash image.
Okay, so what you're saying is the image was broken up into smaller pieces that when the car was stationary you don't see the design,
yeah,
but when it's moving and you've got motion blur happening
yes.
with your eyes, you can
it literally looked like the exact packet of Marlboro Reds. Which is clever when you
it
think
is clever,
it.
Yeah, yeah.
But that also wasn't allowed. So that was pretty much the
yeah,
last
they'd
thing.
Yeah, they'd have figured that one out, wouldn't they?
yeah. And this one is nuts, man. So Benson & Hedges, another cigarette company.
Yeah, yeah.
So first company in 1970 to use hard card instead of soft paper for their packaging.
Yeah, 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 okay.
And the advert that they had was a man and a woman... So it was like a man in like a finely dressed suit,
yeah,
like a black
yeah,
suit,
yeah, yeah.
holding a woman in like this nice flowy dress. And it was like white and pink.
Mm-hmm.
And it was as if to say, like, if you smoke Benson Hedges, you can be like me.
Yeah,
you can
yeah,
get the babes
yeah.
and have the money.
You'd be a debonair.
So their slogan at the time was ditch the soft packs and try our hard packs. So not really subliminal. They, yeah, not subliminal.
Not even subtle.
Right? But what was subliminal was the fact that the Benson and Hedges, the writing was the same colour as the dress. So
okay.
they cleverly displayed it. So it basically said, like, be Hedges. As in, like, you can be that guy.
Yeah,
do you
yeah,
know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah.
So I found that hilarious. Like, I just thought that was
yeah,
fantastic.
No, that is good. Yeah.
But that's all the cigarettes. And then you've got Gilby's Gin. They had ice cubes that spelt out the word sex. This was also late 70s. A lot of subliminal messaging was in the 70s.
Fair enough, yeah.
And at the same time as well, Coca-Cola in the mid-80s, the ice cube was showing an image of a woman performing oral sex on a man. So the artist actually done it for a joke.
Really?
Didn't think that they would notice. They did. He got fired and all products that were recalled, costing Coca-Cola millions. And that how bad it is, the image was on the website that I found these this information.
Oh, you can still see it today.
Oh, it said, we cannot show you this image. Please click this link if you would like to see it. And I clicked it and it's hilarious.
Right.
Like... Coca-Cola, well, it wasn't even them. They denied doing it.
Well, they didn't really have any involvement with it was an outside the contractor. Artist. Yeah, yeah.
And, yeah, the artist done it as a joke, but it was hidden in the ice cube of, like, the shadows and things like that. And also, this, I'd just like to touch on this as well. McDonald's, the M, flashing during shows.
Right.
They dismissed that and said they absolutely do not do subliminal messages. But I told you, before I'd done this research, I told you when I was like 14, I was watching an episode of Everybody Loves Raymond.
Yes.
And I swear on my life, for a split second, I saw the McDonald's M flash up for no reason during that show.
I'm sure I can remember something about court cases with McDonald's going with subliminal messages. Maybe like the early 90s or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can remember. Yeah, they did get pulled up on that.
But they dismiss it.
Majorly.
So, for legal reasons, they had nothing to do with it.
Okay, that didn't happen, everybody. It did not happen.
Another fast food chain, I've got a couple more for you. So, Wendy's, their logo with the ginger-haired girl.
Yeah,
her
collar
spells the word mom or mum to English people.
Oh, is it?
So it's kind of giving like a homely vibe to influence people to buy Wendy's, not necessarily associate with fast food, like a home-cooked meal,
if
you know what I mean. And KFC, this one's brilliant. Oh, yeah, go on, sorry.
Sorry,
yeah.
I just, like, the whole Ronald McDonald thing.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Baffles me how they got away with using Ronald McDonald as an advertiser for McDonald's.
Mm.
Most kids are scared stiff of clowns, and particularly here, like, just some weird paedophile clown, isn't he?
He does look very bizarre. Like, it's he reminds me of the It from It, Pennywise.
Pennywise, yeah.
Yeah, very similar. But yeah, they were using Ronald McDonald for years. I don't know if they do anymore. Do you know what? I reckon that's probably why they brought in Grimace, to kind of balance it out a bit. Like,
maybe, yeah.
Because who's going to be scared of a giant purple blob?
So, well, exactly, yeah. Or the I'm loving it thing, you know. It's much more effective than some weird redhead clown.
Yes.
Dancing around the screen with, yeah, a load of children. You just think, yeah, I'm not sure if I really want my kids eating there.
So KFC, I really like this one. I thought this was funny. So they had a big advertisement in posters, adverts and everything of their brand new, like, buffalo chicken burger.
Right.
With, like, a lettuce with, like, little drops of water and, like, look fresh, right?
Yeah, of course, yeah.
Well, people started to notice that there was a bit of lettuce that didn't look quite right. And when they zoomed in, it was just a fresh dollar bill just...
Oh, really?
...hidden in the lettuce. Like, come spend your money.
Fair play.
So, fair enough. Fair play to them. I just found it funny. So... I've actually got now more examples, because in case you haven't noticed, the rest of this episode is just examples of subliminal messaging.
So there's not a lot else you can do, really.
No, no. But they're fun. So, you know, let's go for it. So the FedEx logo, the company FedEx.
Yeah.
They have an arrow in the middle of FedEx.
Yeah.
So subliminal messaging there, because they're like a courier service, like a delivery. Mm-hmm. And Amazon.
It's not really subliminal messaging, is it?
Not necessarily messaging, but it is kind of subliminal, I suppose. Well, it's hidden.
Well, no, not really. It's just a representation of what they do.
I bet you there are people out there that have not noticed there's an arrow in FedEx. I bet you any money.
Fair enough. Yeah, yeah, probably is, yeah.
Well, I suppose, yeah, it's not a subliminal message, but it's hidden, I guess. Subliminal in a way. Yeah. But that's the worst of the examples. So Amazon actually have two subliminal messages in their logo.
Amazon?
Amazon.
All I can think is literally the word Amazon and that little smiley.
Yeah.
The smile?
So the smiley face is one of them. So
that's
subliminally.
Not really subliminal, though, is it?
Hey, man, I don't crap on your presentation.
<I'm> sorry.
Just let me have it, all right?
All right, yeah.
So I'm just going by what I read. So subliminally, it's like a smile to suggest, like, we're
everything's going
to
be happy.
You'll get everything on time. Come with us, like, order from us. We're a great company.
Okay, fair enough, yeah. I can
and
see that.
The other one is that smile is also an arrow going from A to Z. As in, Amazon will get you from A to Z.
Oh, yeah, I've never put that one.
Is that one a bit better?
Yeah, that was better, yeah.
So, Toyota as well. Their logo, Toyota, you can actually spell the word Toyota with their logo. So there's a T, an O, a Y, an O, a T, and an A, all fit inside the logo of Toyota.
Inside those two ovals.
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough.
Which I thought was kind of cool.
That's cool.
SFX magazine. I don't know if you remember that.
I've seen SFX. To be honest, I thought it was just called Sex Magazine.
Exactly.
But that's the whole point, isn't it?
Worked.
I guess.
Yeah, they would always kind of cover the bottom of the F.
To make it look like it's going behind someone's photo or something like that.
Because sex sells. As you're about to find out. So Baskin-Robbins as well. I didn't know this one, but the Baskin-Robbins logo is like blue and pink, pink and blue. And it's a B and an R.
What are the Baskin-Robbins?
Oh, yes. So this is for the American listeners.
Right.
Baskin-Robbins is an ice cream company. Like, I suppose it's kind of like Ben & Jerry's
things
like that.
Fair enough, yeah.
And they have, famously, they have 31 flavors.
Right.
And in their logo of B and R and the color scheme that they've used, you can clearly see a 31 within the B and R.
Right.
So it's just kind of self-promoting the fact that they've got 31 flavors.
But the capital B would have the 3 in it. And the straight line coming down from the R would be, the one.
Divided by two colors.
They'd just divide it up in color. Yeah, fair enough. Yeah, that's clever.
It's clever.
Yeah, yeah.
This one blew my mind because growing up in America, we used to eat Tostitos all the time. Like, it's basically English's version of Doritos.
Right.
Exactly the same, just corn chips. Yeah. And Tostitos, the way it's spelled out, the T and the T and the I in the middle, I never noticed before. The dot of the I is a chip, and the two T's are people sharing a chip over a bowl of salsa. When you look at the logo, you'll probably find it for stock footage. It's actually really clever, and I never noticed it before. But it's basically saying, like, buy this big bag because you can share it with all your friends and stuff.
Yeah, I suppose these things do kind of count as subliminal messaging, but I would see it more just like as clever advertising. I'll give you an example that you probably haven't come up with that we talk about all the time. The program Most Haunted.
Yeah.
Have you ever noticed that the T's in Most Haunted are a Christian cross?
Never noticed it.
No?
No.
There you go.
So I suppose, but to me, that is a subliminal message. So sometimes I feel like maybe not necessarily messages, but they are all subliminal.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Until you notice them.
Like we said, subliminal stimuli. So not necessarily messages. But it is clever. A lot of it is advertising.
Oh, definitely, yeah, yeah.
And to be honest with you, a lot of it, even to this day, subliminal messaging and things is pretty much only for advertisements. It's not really used anywhere else.
Yeah.
Apart from just quickly, Derren Brown and David Blaine, magicians, everyone kind of knows them.
Yeah.
That's pretty much a lot of their acts are subliminal kind of implanting ideas and things like that.
Yeah, it's just the way they speak or the actions that they take or, you know, certain trigger words that they'll use or emphasize on to actually, get you to be manipulated to do whatever their plan is.
Obviously, I'm not going to go into detail of some of the tricks they do and things. Just check them out for yourself. But
Derren Brown's great. I've seen him live. He's good. Yeah.
He's amazing. And like you say, you've seen him live. I've got Louis the Skeptic has seen him live.
Yeah.
And everyone that
Hey, even, Louis.
Good old Louis. Even Louis went into there going, he's not going to get me. He's not going to get me. I'm...
You and know, he got him.
Yeah, he got him. That's how good Derren Brown is with is, subliminal stuff.
He is very
stuff.
Good, yeah.
And I mentioned to you earlier, there's a clip in The Office. So if people, huge fans the of The
American,
Office.
The American
The
Office.
American Office,
yeah.
There's a scene where, as a prank, Jim is playing a sound on his computer. And every time he plays it, he offers Dwight a mint. And he just takes the mint. And then over time... He then plays the noise and Dwight just holds his hand out for a mint and then Jim says, what are you doing? And it's almost like he's got him subliminally thinking that he's associated the noise with having a mint. So that's another example.
But we also use that with pets as well, don't we?
Yes.
A lot of people use like clickers and stuff like that to get pets to do what they want them to do because they train them to, to do it that way. I guess that's kind of subliminal because pets aren't of a higher consciousness, you know, they just think, oh, here, click, I'm gonna get a food.
I mean cats are quite self-sufficient, aren't they?
Very much so, yeah.
Yes, I do agree with you there, but this brings us to pretty much the end of the podcast, but I can't talk about subliminal messaging without talking about Disney.
Right, okay.
So
all right, let's look. Let's wage war on Disney then.
Well, I mean, to be fair, I will just say before I go into some of these examples, I will just slightly stick up for Disney because growing up, some of these films that I'm about to mention, there's some stuff there that is quite clearly jokes for adults. They're not subliminal messages. They're not trying... Some of these, not all of them, but some of them...
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So there's a fine line
they
there.
They have multiple levels to their jokes, don't they?
And it's the exact same thing with Simpsons. Like, there's a lot of scenes with Homer and Marge where they mention something or say something that's a bit raunchy. As a kid, you don't register it, but the adults watching it go, huh, I see what they did there. So with Disney, a few of these examples, I mean, people can decipher which ones I'm talking about. There's a few where I'm like, that's for the adults, because you can imagine them taking their kids to the cinema, watching with them. And that's just, I feel like Disney have done some of these subliminal messages as a kind of little treat for the adults to be like, well, you're paying attention. That's right. For you. But I don't think the kids would pick up on it. So let's just run through some of these. Aladdin, there's a scene there where quite clearly you can hear whispered in the background.
Oh, we watched this on TikTok the other day, actually, didn't we? Yes.
Take your clothes off. Yeah. You can clearly hear it being whispered.
As Jasmine's coming out onto the balcony when he's being almost forced off the balcony by the tiger.
And he's on the magic carpet. But you can
clearly
hear
we both clearly heard that one, actually. Yep.
The Lion King, when Mufasa, no, I think it's Simba, slumps to the floor and kicks up dust. It actually goes up and spells the word sex in the sky.
Oh, does it?
Now, Disney, I must say, Disney have since kind of...
edited that.
They've basically come up with an explanation. They've said that it's SFX as a homage or like a respect for their special effects.
Okay.
But to me, it clearly says sex in the stars.
Fair enough.
Little Mermaid, the priest gets very excited. So I let you guys decide what that means. But the bit where he's marrying, I think it's Eric the Prince.
He's marrying the wrong one, isn't it?
Yes.
Ursula or whatever, the octopus woman.
Vanessa? Oh, I can't think. My wife will know. So I have no idea. Someone will know. But either way, the priest gets a little bit too excited below his waist.
Oh, yes. Yeah. You see a little bulge in his pants, don't you? That's right.
A film called The Rescuers, when they're flying in like a matchbox car or something, and
like chipmunks, isn't it?
Yeah.
I don't really remember that one so well.
But they're going past skyscraper windows, and clearly there's a still image of a naked woman.
Oh, is there?
In the window.
Oh,
yeah.
Fair enough.
So explain that one, Disney. Pinocchio. There is... When Geppetto is looking out of the window, the stars spell out the words smoke.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
And this one is crazy, which I can't really explain, but like it's nuts for back in the day. But there is a scene in Pinocchio where he's basically talking about kidnapping boys, young boys, taking them to Pleasure Island, right. And then saying, like, when I think it's a fox, says, oh, do they come back? And he says, well, they don't come back as boys. So there's a, it's honestly, it's kind of freaky. But that was Pinocchio. Now, this is where one of the jokes that I was talking about. So in Emperor's New Groove, they make a joke where he says, oh, I'm going to go pitch a tent. Right.
Yeah, okay.
And when the camera goes to, I think it's Kronk, the character,
right.
He's this big hench dude and he's laying down trying to sleep. And there is literally a tiny tent over his crotch. Like, but I think the kids would take that as like, he's just too big for the tent.
He's just such a big bloke that he can't fit in the tent.
But
yeah.
That's one of them things where I'm like, that's surely just for the adults. So I don't think that's subliminal, but I just thought I'd mention that because some people did kick off like, they're trying to corrupt kids and stuff. There's one with Mickey Mouse where he's hugging Minnie Mouse and it clearly looks like a hand on something phallic shaped.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I remember seeing that one the other day as well.
I'm not going to mention the Hercules one because I don't think they've done it for that, but there's a scene where a horseshoe lands on like a demon's head and then a lump starts to grow. And it's also very phallic-shaped, but I think that's just for comical effect. This one blew my mind. So the film Turning Red, it's fairly new. It's about red pandas, things like that. I watched that whole film with my wife and thought, that's a really great Disney film. And she was like, you know what that's about, don't you? And I was like, red pandas? She's like, no, it's about a woman's menstrual cycle and periods. And I was like, really? And then she started explaining to me that it's all about when she gets angry, this like teenage girl, when she gets angry and stuff, she turns into this giant red panda and she's out of control. Do you know what I mean? So it's like it's not really a subliminal
message.
It's
more symbolism then, than subliminal messaging. But
And along with that, there is a lot of satanic symbolism in Disney. A lot of like rock signs and devil symbols with hands for certain characters. And the numbers 666 appear quite a lot in different films as well.
That's interesting.
So look out for that. And the last few things you said about music being played backwards.
Yeah, yeah.
Obviously, I do actually agree with you. I think it's not really subliminal messaging.
No, I think you've got to be very, very clever, particularly within spoken word singing and music, to actually be able to write a song that is understandable forwards and has a different message when played at the right speed backwards.
Yeah.
And I don't think many people put the effort into actually doing that.
No, I think it's coincidence.
Yeah.
But I'll give you some examples anyway, because I thought it was fun.
This is where Justin Bieber comes into it.
Yeah, so Justin Bieber, his song Baby, apparently if you play the chorus backwards, he says, oh yeah, I'm the evil one, let me in, let me in.
Right, okay.
Dora the Explorer, played backwards, says, Hail Satan, supposedly. The Eagles, Hotel California, apparently played backwards, the chorus says, yeah, Satan, had him organize his own religion. And the last one I've got is One Direction.
Hotel California is such a weird song anyway.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. With a lot of dark connotations to it. I can't imagine they'd even bother putting a no. message backwards in it. You know,
back in those days, they could pretty much sing about whatever.
Yeah.
But the last one, One Direction, Live While You're Young, when played backwards, says, we're all Satanists. I don't believe in any of these. It's just when I was doing research, one of the things that came up was music being played backwards.
Okay, yeah.
Now, I'm going to end this podcast on one last thing. If I was to say to you, Pirate, off the top of your head, what's the first animal you're thinking of? What would you say?
Elephant.
Damn it!
What did you write?
I predict Pirate will say bat.
No, you got it wrong.
This whole podcast, my friend, I've been dropping subliminal messages to you, and it hasn't worked. But
you want me to rewind the recording?
You know what's funny is I'm not just saying this. I told your girlfriend before we came in here that I was going to do this. I was like, I haven't told Pirate, and I'm hoping he says bat. And I said to her, you can ask her after this, I was kind of half right. I said, knowing Pirate and the way his brain works, if this isn't going to work on anyone, it will be Pirate. And he's probably going to say elephant. And I'm not even joking.
Really? Did you say that?
Yep. You can ask Hayley after this. 100% I said,
oh, why didn't you write down elephant?
But, yeah, I tried dropping in a few things there, hoping that you'd say bat, which is why at the start of the podcast, I said, like, I usually wear dark black colours and I'm wearing my lucky green shirt. And I said about spreading my wings and stuff like that. And I was dropping it in and I was trying to rhyme the word bat. So I was saying I was going to wear a hat and stuff like that, hoping that at the end of the podcast we'd end with a zinger and I'd be like, ha ha, I predicted you'd say bat, but it hasn't worked. But it's equally just as good content. So
I'm more impressed that you actually thought that I would say elephant as your second guess.
Yeah, yeah.
Because clearly you're no good at subliminal messaging or any of Darren Brown's tricks. However much you paid him to teach you these things, it should have been more. I just wanted to touch on something that you haven't covered. We did talk about it, and I didn't know whether to mention it or not.
Mm-hmm.
Because we might cover this on a different episode.
Yeah.
Was the, back in, was it the 1950s or 60s in America, they had government experimentation on the general public, which was known as MK Ultra.
Yes. Yeah.
Which was trying to manipulate public people to do stuff for, you know, government reasons, whether that was like allegedly assassinations or anything like that,
mm-hmm.
where they were drugging people and hallucinating them and stuff like that. And then it was subliminal messages that they used as a trigger to activate them. Just like, you know, the old book, The Manchurian Candidate, or the film, The Manchurian Candidate. Well, that was kind of reality back in, like, the 50s, 60s or 70s or whenever it was.
Mm-hmm.
And I wondered if you were going to mention that. Because that is one of the things that when you said you wanted to do subliminal messages, I was like, oh, MK Ultra, you got to mention that one.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, you said you kind of looked into it, and the subliminal message side of it was literally just the trigger,
yes,
wasn't it? That's all they used it for, is because wherever you were in the country, if they put like that McDonald's advert out or whatever,
mm-hmm.
and that trigger was in the advert, whoever they needed to trigger to do what they wanted to do was then doing that.
Yes, yeah.
You know, it was a very, very clever piece of espionage and subterfuge. Mm-hmm. And we may cover that in a separate episode.
Yes, yeah.
But
yeah.
I just wanted to give it just an honourable mention.
Yeah, yeah, it's well worth mentioning, to be fair, because that is, subliminal.
It's one of the earlier ones, isn't mm-hmm. it? Yeah.
Yeah. But that's all we've got for you on subliminal messages.
And so where are you thinking on the old paranormality scale then?
Well, because of Darren Brown and, you know, him being so good at it, and the stuff that he's done, I urge anyone to go see his stuff. You can see it on YouTube. Go see him live. Real terrific guy. And because it has been proven to work, it didn't work with you with bat, but it has worked on some people in the past, adverts, things like that. It does exist. It is real. We've used it since the 50s.
Yeah.
So for me, I'm going to score it quite high, and I'm going to give it an 8.9.
8.9?
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Because we still use it today, and it's everywhere.
Yeah, it definitely is. Yeah, and for people that are not quite nice.
Yeah.
I get a lot of people, like, what do they call it? Not psychopaths, sociopaths.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
So sociopathic people, I'm sure, will use some kind of subliminal messaging if they can,
mm-hmm.
in any way they can.
Yeah.
Like your Darren Brown and stuff. And I remember, I can't remember exactly what show it was now. I remember watching something several years ago. It might have been like some kind of con man based type thing, where they wanted someone to pick a certain player on a football pitch,
mm-hmm.
and the player's number on the back of his shirt was 55. So from the guy's hotel room all the way to the football pitch, he was just bombarded with this number 55. Not that he'd notice, you know, it was written on a street sign up there or on a picture over there or, you know, on the reception desk, just on a piece of card that he shouldn't even be looking at and, you know, all stuff like that. And eventually they got him to the football match and said, oh, I'll just pick a random player and we'll, you know, you can meet him or whatever. And he was like, oh, I want that one, 55. And it worked.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, this it is a very, very real thing. So I'd probably even give it even higher, like 9.6.
9.6?
Yeah.
That makes
sense. When it is done,
yeah,
like with nefarious means in mind, or, you know, with dishonest means in mind, it can be very effective.
Yeah. Yeah, it's quite
scary.
And
it's quite scary to think of that.
Mm.
So, yeah, I'd go 9.6.
That's the average of 9.35. Is that right? Or I'm out? This is why
I should agree with you, but I think it's a 9.25 because you've got to take one back, don't you?
Oh, so close.
well, maybe it's 9.3. No, 9.25, I think. Yeah, from 8.9 to 9.6, 9.25. Yeah, okay, 9.25. Right. If I'm wrong, the internet will correct us.
Yep.
But anyway, if you've experienced subliminal messages, write in paranormality.uk@gmail.com, or you can join us on Discord. Please don't send subliminal messages into Discord. don't try and manipulate our followers. But yes, come and join it. Come and join the discussion on there. We're always happy to have new people. Come and find our Instagram. Follow us on there, at TikTok, YouTube, if you don't watch it, if you listen to it and you want to know what we look like, brilliant. Come along. Give us a thumbs up.
Yeah. Write a comment. If you've got any subliminal messages from the years that are unique or not many people would know, write in.
Yeah, tell us about it. If you would have picked the bat...
Yeah.
Let us
know. I want to know if I got anyone with a bat.
Let us know. If Josh actually got you and when I answered elephant, you would have answered bat, we want to know about that. Yeah. But until next time, I've been Pirate.
I'm Josh.
And this has been Paranormality UK. Ta-ta.
Ta-ta.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel, a pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.